This is a podcast from the people behind the world's longest running football fans podcast, The Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and listen anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can have a free subscription where this lands straight in your email inbox, and you can go to thecelticunderground.substack.com. You can also have a paid subscription where you get some additional content, including the In Conversation podcast every week end and the Celtic written, which is basically a rehash of the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, oops, from Glenn Tintin from years ago. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, with this week's podcast.
Hi, and welcome all to the Celtic Underground pre-Champions League playoff podcast. We're all joined, myself, Andrew, joined with Stephen and Ross to take you through the nerve-jangling, why have we found ourselves in this position type scenario that we're in tomorrow night? Even although I'm feeling okay about it. How are you feeling about it, Stevie?
I find these games a stress fest, Andrew. I think it's probably the two biggest games of the season in terms of the financial aspect. And there's also the prestige as well. You want to bin with the big guys. The other point I would make is that I think one of the worst things when you do lose the qualifiers is going back to the Sunday games, you know, the Thursday Sundays. And want to avoid that like the plague, because personally speaking, I don't like games on a Sunday.
I'm with you.
Saturday, so I'd be a bit nervous, because I think the problem is that they're very much an unknown quantity and nobody knows a great deal about them. You're never quite sure what you're going to get in these games, whether, you know, you could get a team that comes and plays, you know, really well, or it can be a team that will fold under the pressure. But what I do want to say is we played teams for Kazakhstan, and they've all been fairly close encounters. But the first thing to bear in mind is we've never won in Kazakhstan. The best we've got is a draw against Astana in 2016. And another thing as well is, when you look at it like that, it makes you think it's going to be difficult. But they've got a coefficient of 7. So, I mean, they've not. If you look at their European record the last 2 years, they've not got any great pedigree of playing anybody. So the hope is that we can be strong enough to take a good lead over there.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic are 56th in the UEFA coefficient, and Karat, FC Karat are 315th. Mm. So that might tell you something, or does it tell us anything, Ross? I see that wee face, that wee mischievous face.
Like Scotland against the Faroe Islands.
Yeah, Kazakhstan are actually only one place above the Faroe Islands.
Well, there you go. CERN, no, but I wouldn't count their coefficient as meaning anything. I think ultimately people need to remember they've just beat Bratislava, who were a Champions League team last season. So a wee bit of respect on them in that regard. Bratislava were pretty poor over the two legs.
Did you watch those games, Ross?
So I've watched about 30 minutes each of them. Kairat in the first one, in the first 20 minutes, could easily have been 3 or 4 up. So, you know, they're not a team that just sat back and waited for a game to happen. I know they ultimately ended up going through on penalties, but especially in the home leg, they had a real good go at Bratislava. Bratislava, to me, were poor. They were poor against us last season. We've seen that, you know, they had an issue with the lack of pace. In terms of Karat, they're second in the league, but only on goal difference behind Astana. So, you know, they're going well in the league. In terms of how they play, fairly structured in the sense it's a 4-3-3, but the two guys behind the board, instead of being wingers, are sort of almost like secondary strikers, number 10s behind their strikers.
Oh, right, that kind of Portuguese way.
Yeah, so they don't play with a huge amount of width, but they move as a structure, and they will commit players forward when they see the opportunity. They certainly done it against Bratislava on both legs. The young guy that scored, Sapiev, has got himself...
He's their wunderkind, eh?
Well, in that area, he certainly... He's one of the few young players in that area that's got a bit of name for himself.
Going to Chelsea next year?
Yeah, him and Ed Mielsen, the striker, are both players who, you know, they're quite happy taking the ball on and having a go at someone, having a wee shot for distance. So, you know, they've got players who, if we're not paying attention, could cause problems. But I can't say I'm overly stressed about it. because I'm hopeful that with what's on the line, that the team will turn up tomorrow and then certainly in the away leg and do the business. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons why there is an element of nervousness, which is less to do with our manager and less to do with the players who are currently here and more to do with the ones that have left and never been replaced. So, you know, that's a factor. But I'd like to think tomorrow night we'll go and do a really good professional job, get a result that kind of makes the second leg a formality, but they need to approach it professionally, as always.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. If Celtic do a professional job, they'll go through. What is it? What's the betting or something? 91% to go through or something, the rating? They're the highest rated team in any qualifying, any of the two champions or non-champions qualifying paths to be in the Champions League. And let's look at it from Karat's point of view. This is the first time they've ever won through three qualifying rounds in their history. They were in the Conference League. They've been in group stage football once in their history. Conference League 2021-22. They lost home and away to Bao. They lost home and away to Karabag. And they got two draws, Omania, or whatever you're called, for Cyprus. And into the bargain, see, you get here. I was trying to work it out. I kind of lost my thread in terms of trying to work out. When you think what these guys have been doing the last month, right? Like three weeks ago, they did 6,000 miles going to Slovenia and back. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, 6,000 miles going to Finland and back. 1 week ago, 6,000 miles going to Slovakia and back. And so now they've got another 3,500 miles. They've just...
That's some carbon footprint they've got, Andrew.
Oh, jeez. There's more reasons to hate them for me. And let's be honest about it. Are they going to have the kind of... Maybe I'm being stereotypical here or whatever, but will they have as much money spent in their charter flight, and will they have all the beds and all that? You got the sense it was catching up with them. See, for them to lose a two-goal lead in their league game at the weekend and lose 3-2, you thought to yourself, this is catching up with him.
Do you remember we played Karagandy, maybe about 10, 12 years ago? Mm-hmm. The one thing I remember, but I mean, my geography's terrible. The one thing I remember being surprised about was the Celtic fans who went to Kazakhstan said, what a nice place. Very wealthy, very green.
It's like in a petrol state, isn't it?
Yeah, but far superior city-wise to what you would find in Glasgow. So a very modern city, obviously. But I think the interesting thing about Karagandy, just while I mentioned it, is they're in the second tier now. They're not having a great time. I just discovered the other day, doing a wee bit of research in the net, that Karagandy are now in the second division of Kazakhstan football.
But, wow.
I don't think we should underestimate them in as much as there'll be plenty of money behind that club. You know what I mean? I think they'll get the best of travel.
Yeah, I've been. Do you know when we played Karagrand, I think I did a piece, and it was a bit Borat, right? My piece, but I went on the Home Office, their travel information, and it was all about the fact that there was nuclear missiles. There'd been certain kind of leaks of nuclear wastage. No leaving your drink if you're a woman. You don't leave your drink in a bar. Da da da. I just rehashed it in that piece. The consulate for London wrote a big letter inviting me to Kazakhstan and all that for the Scotland Sunday. They said, this guy's stuff's a disgrace. He's just trotting out all these stereotypes. And you know, and it was like, I deliberately didn't mention Borat, right? Because that was getting mentioned in the record and all that every other day. But I didn't do any better. And the guy absolutely slaughtered me in this letter that went in the Scotland and Sunday the next week.
Did you go to the first game, though?
And then I couldn't get a visa in time. Couldn't get a visa in time. Because I had to get down to, you know, because I think it was, who had Celtic played the round before? They played a round before that, didn't they?
Round before Karagandy, was that not the year we played Cliftonville?
Was it, right?
And then who was the Swedish team? Elfsberg.
Was that not Elfsberg? The Bangura? Was that Mo Bangura?
That was the Bangura one, wasn't it?
Yeah, he played against us. That's right.
Yeah, no, I remember watching him in the warm-up at Celtic Park, and Jesus. I'd have been ducking if I was sat in the stand behind that goal. And Dunkirk, I just looked at it now. It's a 72-hour drive if you fancy it, apparently. 4,000+ miles. If you ever want to go to Dunkirk and take them up on that offer...
The travelling these guys have done, it must take it out. I mean, not so much doing it once, but this is the fourth time they've done it.
Do you remember we played Astana the second time? First time it was really close. I think it took a late Dembele penalty to win it. But the second time, we played the first leg at Parkhead and we beat them 5-0. And I remember coming out of the game that night and saying to my son, do you know what the biggest asset Celtic had on the night? And he says, what's that? It was like a winter's night. It was in August, but it felt like November. It was one of the horrible Glasgow nights with a really biting wind and that sleety rain that you get, you know?
Oh, yeah. Was that the one that Griffiths scored an amazing free kick?
Yeah, I think so, aye.
He scored twice that night, didn't he? Yeah, his free kick. Was his free kick just before? That wasn't his 100th goal. Am I getting all mixed up here, kind of thing? No.
I can't mind that, but the point is that the actual conditions suited the Scots, if you like. We're used to that.
And also the time difference is 12 o'clock at night, isn't it? Because it's a 4-hour time difference.
I think the weather played a big factor that night. Honest to God, I'm just making that up. It did play a factor.
Yeah, it's like, what did you make it? Did any watch Brendan Rodgers, any of his conference today? Or did you see any of the... he is sounding very kind of weary, isn't he? Ross, if you didn't watch it, Stephen, I'll just put that to Ross.
They've been asked the same question that you know.
Oh, I know.
Every day, knowing full well that you can't give the honest answer because of the uproar that it would cause. I would be
did you have a tie on, but...
He was Mr. Tracksuit manager today.
I'm not one of those who pays that much attention to what anybody's willing to be honest. I think everybody in some shape or form that's posted anything on the website recently, whether when we've talked about Rogers or the board or whatever else, it is the fact that you've got one sole communicator from the club and it's him. And I've said this, I think if I was him, and I wanted to be brutally honest, if I was in his shoes, there would be that wee thing inside my head going, do you know what? One day, I might just turn up and go, do you know what? Why don't you go and ask one of these idiots that's hiding in the boardroom toilets every time you turn up? Because they've got your answers. I know what I want to happen. I'm openly telling you what I want to happen.
Yeah.
If you want to find out why it's not happening, go and ask the people who are stopping the development of my team.
But, you know, do you know what got me? Do you remember after the 2023 transfer window? We got him the next week and he was clearly really unhappy with the business that had been done because he didn't want project players, a whole raft of project players. He wanted kind of seasoned, established players. And he was saying all this stuff. And I said to him, see the way you're speaking to us? Do you speak this way? Do you tell what you're saying to us? Do you say it to the board? And he went, no. I was like, why tell us? We can't change anything. It was the most bizarre answer. Utterly bizarre answer.
But then in telling folk publicly, is that not the clearest message to the board? I'm not doing it behind closed doors. I am literally out here in front of the media saying, I don't know why we've not got players. I just know that the club like to do things late. Is Michael Nicholson that insulated in his caves that he doesn't have a telly to watch?
But he know it. But that's why the other thing I thought. Do you think the boat like that? What I mean, it's been shoddy, inept, incompetent. You name it. But do you think the board themselves don't know that? Of course, because whatever people think of them, they're supporters as well.
Sorry, I'm at the point now where I really hoped we would get on a subject because I kind of feel like I'm on the verge of an explosion. It's tiresome. If they can't come out and talk, if they're too much of shite bags to hide in boardrooms and stick their barriers up on a Friday night and not talk to anybody and not explain anything, and just continually leave him out there, then no, they're not good at what they do. They're not supporters. They're just shitebags earning huge amounts of money doing fuck all for it.
No, I know, but...
That felt good.
Right. No, but do you know, I mean, they must know they've screwed up right royally. They must know.
But they've done this time and time again. You know, they are repeating the same thing over and over again. So 23, 24, they've done this. Then we have
They did something different, right? No, like,
what I mean is, they done this where they decided...
Oh, sorry, 23, 24, sorry. 23, right.
24, they decided they were going to direct their strategy and they were going to go very data emphasised and leave it to a few people. Rodgers comes in, picks it up, it's a mess. He openly says it. He openly calls out the recruitment team and everything that then led to the fiasco afterwards with Mark Law and all that nonsense. Then they move to the next one and they go, right, we're going to change direction. We'll let you have more of a say. However, they then fart about for the entire summer and wait until the very end to do it. Now it seems to be that they're going, well, we gave you that money and we're not totally convinced by what you did. Even though we hamstrung you all the way through the summer and done it at the very, very end, yet we had one of our best seasons ever, especially in Europe, which was the fundamental test is, can he get them to do it in Europe? And he'd done it. I can't play this guy because I didn't trust them defensively, which anybody with a set of eyes who'd watched in the mirror could have told you. He's got strikers. He's got four strikers now. A couple of seasons ago, he's gone, I only want two and maybe someone who can flex in. He's got four. Like,
I know.
Who is directing all this? And how do you know?
Do you know what gets me? And I don't know about you, Stephen, but what gets me is, right, say he did screw up, say, just whatever your point of view on Ida, Trusty, Engels, and I think, means you, Stephen, have agreed, I don't think they've been value for money. I don't think they're among, they're not going to be signings we're going to look back on and say, what a signing that was they made there. But say they were absolutely tosh, are you not allowed to have one bad, like, all managers did. Ferguson, Alex Ferguson, he made plenty duff signings, but it doesn't mean to say that you don't, like, one summer, that's the trust is gone.
You need to put it in the context of the Scottish game, though. I mean, like, 11 million for Engels, excuse me, 9 million for Ida and 6 million for Trusty. Huge investment. There's never been investment like that in Scottish football. For many, many years, since the days of David Murray was spending on other people's money. But the point I'm going to make here is I don't think that Trusty or Engels or Ida has set the header on fire, but they've not been failures either.
I know.
You can look at Trusty last season in the Champions League games, particularly away from home. Ida had 20 goals last season, even though he didn't play in the majority of the games. And Engels... hit double figures, albeit most of them were penalties. But the point I was making about penalty taking is, never look down on that because that's an asset. And we've missed plenty of penalties in important games in the last two seasons. And having that boy taking reliable penalties is a really good asset. So what I would say to that is probably you've paid the going rate for them. I mean, look, I think we're all aware of the fact that we probably played a wee bit more extra due to the and to back up Ross's point, due to the board dilly dallying, right? And yet the longer you leave it, we could have had them earlier for cheaper if you believe the stories that we hear. But the point is that the three of them did contribute last season, and again, as one of you guys was saying there, that it was the European, that's where Rodgers made his mark last season, because I was very critical of him in previous European campaigns. But I thought he matured a wee bit last year and he sort of learned his lesson, if I can put it like that, even allowing for the fact we took a real sore bloody nose.
Yeah, that can happen.
But at that level, that can happen. I mean, like, the worrying thing is, if we get into the Champions League this year and we don't improve, we were very fortunate last season. I think the group that we got really helped. Now, this season, it could be the group of death that you could end up with, like,
I know,
crazy, like Barcelona, AC Milan and Porto or something like that, right? You think to yourself, dear God, you know, that team is not ready for the Champions League. We need I reckon we need three players minimum. And I'm talking about first team starters getting right into the getting right in there. No fringe players, no projects.
I know, I'm sure Rodgers would agree with you. I'm sure Rodgers would agree with you. But I mean, there's certain things. I mean, the way people have talked about, like, gambling. Mm. They've gambled with their Champions League. It shouldn't be a gamble. See, against that an FC Carat.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have needed to sign. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. It's not a gamble. End of the bargain. It's what I never understand about people. They just assume if you've got new signings, they'll instantly make you better. Kuhn didn't make Celtic better for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you've almost... But this is even worse in terms of when we look ahead. With the players you sign in this window, really, this is your team for the next qualifying campaign. This is because it's the team that's bedded in. This is the players they've really been able to bed in. Now, I know Nygren seems pretty bedded in. Tierney's bedded in because he's been here before in a way, you know. So these guys, I think they do improve Celtic in both defensively and midfield. But obviously we know the front line is a bit an abomination. But, you know, it's like there's certain things you don't think about. I was looking at today. Ida scored. See, if Ida had been playing for a club called Celtic last season and you looked at his figures and you go, well, that guy scored 3 in the Champions League. He scored 20 goals, over 20 goals all in. Not a lot of minutes. I mean, you know, he played 100-odd minutes fewer than Kyogo in the Champions League. He played 128 minutes fewer than Kyogo in the Champions League. Kyogo got one goal. He scored 3.
See, to be fair to Kyogo, he was a ball head away for a hat-trick.
I know. But maybe the old Kyogo, just more at the peak of his game, wouldn't he have been offside in those times? Maybe the runs were just that split second difference. I know one of them was a foul that McGregor committed in the build-up, but the other two, were he was just slightly, just went a wee bit early. See, you know, that's
what, the... What annoys me is that the fact that the last three seasons... We get automatic. We're automatically into the Champions League group stages, automatic entry, and that was basically done in the back of Rangers' European results, because the Scottish coefficient went so high, and in 2022 when it was a close league race between us and them, and we nicked it. I remember thinking at the time that gives us a big financial advantage here. And we sort of did use it for the next season, 2023. And then any financial advantage that we've got at the moment, whereby, depending on who you talk to, we've got 60 million, 80 million, or 100 million in the bank, we aren't putting that to good use. And for the life of me, again, to back what Ross was saying there, is where's the communication for the board? See if they would turn around and say, listen, we want to acknowledge to the fans that we're trying really hard here to get players, but it's a difficult environment because not everybody wants to play in the Scottish game. Some players are hanging off to see if they get into the Champions League or no, which I'm sure is the case, right? But see if they would just even communicate, that then the vast majority of Celtic fans can understand that and take it on board. But what I can't understand is silence, absolute silence.
But I think they're silent because, as Ross says, they're hiding. In the sense that they know there's no way they can justify what's happened in this window. I mean, I don't know if it's Dermot Desmond that he's kind of trolling. He's trolling. He's maybe trolling the whole support. He's trolling his board, because I'm sure that none of them are, like, as I say, for whatever people think of Nicholson, I'm sure he's like going, what the fuck? You know? And it's not all his doing, because, as I say, you've got your kind of one hand tied behind your back with the parameters that Dermot Desmond seems to set, which owe nothing. You know, he gave an interview in 2022 and he said Celtic operate Micawber, you know, the character for Dickens, economics. If I earn 20 pounds and spend 19, happiness. If I earn 19 pounds and 20 and spend 20, trouble. You know, that's the famous quote for the Dickens. But they're not even doing that. There's no suggestion that Celtic are even running close to spending what they earn. They're spending. You've it seems the gap between
79 million of them, have we?
I know, but I mean, the gap even between what they earn, even in a matter of months, is and what they spend, is becoming so stretched. It makes absolutely no sense.
Here's a funny thing. You know, I think I shared on the WhatsApp the day that as a pal of mine's a taxi driver, and he had Dominic Mackay in his taxi the day. Yeah. Right? And Dominic Mackay was talking about Celtic, obviously, and he says what he's really proud of is that he gets so many deals done. But when between Ange coming and the window shut, I think it was something like 10 deals. Now, they didn't all come off, obviously, right? But I mean, you're talking about good ones like Jackie Marcus, Carter Vickers, Kyogo, Jota, right? So outstanding signings. And it was almost as if he was rubbing it in that I get that done. You know, as if to say, compare that with now, where we can barely get a deal over the line. And he's saying, I've done 10 of these deals in about a fortnight.
It's a fair point. I mean, two of them, I think three of them were after. Was it within the last 24 hours of the
Juranovic?
Juranovic, Cameron Carter-Vickers. Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota were both loaned to buys, weren't they? But I mean, look, Postecoglou changed 8 of the starting 11 in the space of 7 months. Mm-hmm. Astonishing turnaround.
Yeah.
Actually, 8 first team picks, isn't it? But I mean, Ross, I mean, the team that he has to go with, it's the forward line that you think, what is he going to do? What do you think he'll do?
Probably what we've done.
As opposed to what you'd like him to do.
I'd like to see Dyson back in the middle, but I understand that he's kind of stuck as to where he feels he goes with that. Because it's like, well, your option on the left is to move James Forrest over. I know people will say that that's an obvious choice, but we covered this. James Forrest is going to struggle to play 50, 60 minutes. And you're putting him in his sort of secondary position.
Yeah. Although he's looking sharper the more minutes he gets, as opposed to the other way around.
I've no issue with James Forrest. No issue with James Forrest starting, but, you know, it's a big game. If this becomes a sticky game where they decide that they're going to back in or whatever, that then could become a problem. So there needs to be an alternative option. The alternative option is Yang, who at the moment, he'll have a flashy moment like he did against Falkirk, where he came on and he'd done the really sensible...
On the left, by the way. He looks better on the left.
He's a right winger, but that Falkirk game, I agreed with what a lot of people said. Falkirk allowed them the room, and I was quite happy with the fact that he just went direct. Quite simple, a wee shuffle, direct ball.
Yeah.
Nothing overly complex, just quite simple. Goes direct as can, fire ball across. Whereas in all the games previous, the biggest criticism is he was getting that ball, not driving anywhere. He's coming inside, coming into traffic. The one thing I suspect that Kairat will do is they will play quite narrow, because when you looked at them against Slavia Prague, they've got two big centre-halves. So defending crosses is probably something where they're going to go, do you know what? Celtic and open play crossing aren't they particularly great. There's either has been quite successful in aerial duels this season, but not in terms of attacking the ball in the box area. Really. So their team, I would imagine, if I was looking at it from Carrick's point of view, I'm going to go, we're going to be up against a lot here. Where do I want Celtic? Do I want them playing balls in the middle with Hatate and Negrin coming in and trying to slide balls through the side? Or do I want to force them wide and just have them put crosses in? And I'm just going to trust these two big centre-halves to win as much as they can. And Strelick, who's the guy that we've been linked with, is a good aerial striker to a point. They let him do it the other week there, and they dealt with it quite well. So if I'm on their side, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go, right, you know what? I'll let them have it wide, and I'll let them cross high balls in the box. We'll try and shut down these wee triangles to get the ball inside for the wee sort of low cutbacks. We'll try and shut that off as much as we can and force them across high, and we'll take our chances. Tierney is obviously, that's the one area the team has improved this season. Tierney's got quite a good high whipped cross.
Oh, he's been terrific. His crossing's been terrific.
But you still need someone to go and end it. And so I suspect tomorrow it'll be Dyson either Forrest. But if it was me, I would be Dyson.
Well, who plays in the left then? Who do you play in the left if you take my... in the middle.
I would be tempted to go with Forrest, but in an ideal scenario, that this just shouldn't be a conversation. this far into the transfer window, having known since we've known about Kuhn for a lot longer than me.
Oh yeah.
Because someone
plus the fact we knew about Jota back in March that he wasn't going to be there for the best part of the year.
It's nonsensical. It is nonsensical.
So it just shouldn't really be a conversation, because if you looked at the team last summer, if last season's team played this game at this point last season, this just wouldn't have been a question. You'd actually been sat going, huh, great, like, you know, play whoever you want. Because you had that many good options and that many goals and pace in the forward line that you would have just went, you know, well, whatever.
Would have been I can't actually dispute the fact that, and it's gaining traction, but I don't know what you think, Stevie, but this is the weakest kind of front third that Celtic have had in 20 years, maybe.
But when you look at it tomorrow, I think you'll play Forrest on the right, either through the middle, and Maeda on the left. And that's hopefully going to be good enough to create and score chances against a team at Kairat's level. Problem comes if you get injuries or you need to bring a sub on. I mean, you're down to the bare bones. I mean, the boy Yang's not good enough, right? Just, it's my personal opinion, he's not got it. And he gave a good wee burst last week against Falkirk, but you know what, when you're 3-0 up and you come on and the crowd's gone and all that kind of thing, that to me that doesn't prove anything. Johnny Kenny, who I like, I think he tries his best, but he's nowhere near ready for this level. And then you've got the guy named Dimensions, you've got Shin, right? So he was purchased with a view to, I thought, being the first choice striker, but either a wee bit like Kyogo. Kyogo was the main man in most of the big games. He didn't come on as a sub, and I thought that's the way we were going to go with Shin. He was going to be the main focal point of the attack, and he's barely. In fact, Johnny Kenny's getting a game before him. It's almost as if Rodgers is making a point. I don't want him.
No, I know. Did you see him last Friday when he came on, Shin? Did you see Rodgers shaking his head at every? Oh, he was not happy with his 15 minutes or whatever. Constantly shaking his head. Sometimes you just clock the dugout. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But it was just so noticeable. He kept kind of turning and like his bench. And it was all he do with Shin. It was all he do with Shin. I don't know whether it was his movement or whatever he was trying to.
He was only for one move. There was one move McCown had the ball, and for some reason,
He went offside, didn't he? And then he tried to come onside,
and then he ran into somebody. Two of them ran into each other,
try to run the same path, basically. I don't get how many people don't see it, in the sense of people say we're short on strikers. We've got tons of them. There's Ida.
Short in quality.
But there are people saying we need another striker because we need the numbers. We've got Ida Osmond, who played in the B team the other week there, a player who was said as his first team ready for this season, was how he was sort of portrayed by the club when he arrived. Oh, he's going to be a first team player. He's in the B team already, and chances are, according to Eddie's Celtic Daft, you've not read it, he's going to Falkirk.
Yeah, I did read it, yeah.
So then you've got Yamada. And then you've got Johnny Kenny. Now, at the end of last season, when he started talking about Johnny Kenny, Rodgers was openly saying, I think we need to look at him and decide whether it's a loan. We want to extend his deal and then look at a loan, potentially, or see how he kicks on through the summer. So why... we hit the summer, we signed Osmond, we still had Kenny and Ida, so we're at three already at that point. Why did we sign Yamada? Nobody else was looking at Yamada. Nobody was desperately chasing him because he was having an awful season. So... I've nothing, it's not against Yamada. I'm just saying we've already got three who are all strikers who ideally like to run in behind. Why did we sign a four? A 26-year-old Japanese player who was totally out of form. He had a great season the season before. So that I absolutely take into account. He had a great season the season before. But we already had three strikers, all of whom wanted to go in behind. Why did we sign a fourth when Rodgers openly says to the world, I like, my striker does not need to be my goal scorer. I like a striker who will come and drop into different spaces and will help link the play, and then my wide players become pretty much my predominant goal scorers. I still want my striker to score, of course, but I don't, that's not the onus I put on him. My onus is, much like he did when he arrived, is tried with Kyogo. I want Kyogo to drop into the hole because I want to create overloads in other areas where we can then attack for other angles because it's easier for defenders to basically focus on someone who just stands in the middle, was is basically his point of view. He doesn't want someone who just runs a straight line in the middle. I never seen the Yamada thing last week, but Yamada in Japan is a bit like Kyogo. He likes, he would dart about, and then he, at the end of his best season, a lot of that came from just wee darts into the box. But he wasn't darting into a box with 11 defenders. He was darting into a box when we made 5. A lot easier.
Yeah, of course.
Running in, try to run out of fire when there's an entire building trying to leave, or try to run out of fire when it's just you. So why did we, or someone win the club, because he's calling them club signings, so I'm not saying anything that's anything new to anybody here. He calls them club signings. Why did they sign them?
Where I don't know. Although you think about, when you think about Kyogo, right? Like, he wouldn't be a kind of typically a player you think would succeed at Celtic because he plays on the shoulder. No, but he did succeed, but, you know, against packed defences.
Andrew's tactical design was totally different. Andrew's tactical design was Kyogo. If you want to stand 10 yards offside, I do not care, because I am going to force the ball so quickly forward that as long as my wide player's onside, you could be standing 20 yards offside, because as long as they get that byline, cut it back, you're then onside. We're just playing against the rule of you're not offside because you're not interfering with play. That was how he played the game. So Kyogo in that situation was brilliant at it, because it was just, you know, the defender's on the halfway line and I'm stood 10 yards behind them just going, I know it's coming. I know that the pace down the sides is good. And that the skill down the sides is that good that they'll get the ball to me, whether it's Abada, whether it's Jota, whether it's Dyson. I know that as long as I'm there in the middle, by the time Ange's setup gets to me, I'll be onside, even though I've been 10 yards offside.
Interesting your piece last week, Ross, about Ida trying to, like a kind of square peg, trying to be forced into a round hole in the sense he's dropping deep and flinking the play, and that's not him, is it?
I have two issues with Ida in the sense, and I said this in an article. I wasn't unhappy that he signed, because to me, I think the club of, not just Rodgers, the club have had 4, 5, 6 months to look at him, and look at him as a person, as a player, everything. So they have had a good period to work out, what does he take on board? How does he learn? How does he train? Like, you know, how open is he to being coached to another level? And they've decided he's our guy. And in that article, I said, you know, is it one of those where Rodgers has went, he's doing it for me now, and I didn't trust these guys in the other room to do anything better, so I am going to hang my hat on him.
Yeah.
And that's happened, and, you know, it's not worked out amazingly, but wasn't it bad?
No, as Stephen said, Stevie said, you know what I mean? It's like he didn't even he'd a tidy enough season, but you just don't see. There needs to be growth. There needs to be future growth for to ever consider that guy as a number nine. And what we've seen, he almost you talked about that in your piece as well. I mean, how big is this game for him? If he does start tomorrow night, it's huge for Ida. We have to see something. There's been nothing this season. I know it's early days, but
all right, he needs two things. He's a striker, he needs goals. But if he's not going to do that, and I've said this, he needs performances where you look and go, he comes off pit and you go, he absolutely bullied that defence, and our goals maybe came because of the fact...
He's not quite...
I feel sorry for him.
So they are.
Because I'll tell you why I feel sorry for him. Any Celtic striker these days, but by the way that the formation is, you either get an hour for the beginning or you get half an hour at the end. So, see, in order to see the best of either, you would need to give him maybe 7 or 8 games playing 90 minutes, and we can't accommodate that, because Rodgers will just not do that, right? But because that's his system, that he brings the on the hour mark every game, whether you're 3-0 up or 3-0 down, he brings on 3 subs, and one of them is always a striker, but, you know. You've scored a hat-trick in an hour and he's taking you off and you're getting the adulation of the crowd, but you might have had a howler for an hour and you're coming off and you're getting you're getting a bad reception. So I think Ida's one of the guys that I think if he played 7 or 8 games on the bounce, 90 minutes are as good as 90 minutes, I think you hopefully see it at the best of them.
Yeah, you would. It's just, I mean, it is frightening. The thought is frightening, because I'm sure Celtic will get through this tie, but it is frightening to think this squad's just no champions league ready. If it wasn't for the fact that what one of the things that I'm really hoping, well, obviously I'm hoping Celtic get through the Champions League, but one of the reasons why is I was looking at it the other night, but I was quite surprised. No Scottish team has ever been in the Champions League four straight seasons. Now, Celtic might do it because they've only had one to qualify for and three of them. But people say, oh, winning the title, what does that matter? All that? Well, look at what winning the title meant, as you say, Stevie, because in no small part because of what Rangers were doing in Europe, look at what winning the title meant.
Mm-hmm.
You're sliding straight into the Champions League. And so Celtic could, for the first Scottish club ever to qualify for the Champions League four consecutive seasons, because they only really have to qualify one qualifying game for that 4 years, for that four seasons.
Another thing, I think we've already touched upon it, is like, I keep saying this to my son, with the greatest respect to Kyra, and I hope I'm not going to tempt fate here, you cannot imagine a more favourable draw at this stage of the competition and a qualifying.
And I agree with you, 100%.
If you could 100%. Have picked it, apart from the travel element, whether it was Bratislava or Kyra, in terms of who we could have got, that pairing was pretty much the one that you go, that's the one we want.
Yeah.
The sad part is, part of that is, that's the one we want, is because you're looking and going, the other teams against this squad, a lot more doubt.
Yeah. Do you know, let's finish on a real positive note, and Stevie can correct me or he can embellish what I'm going to go on and say here. Celtic have never lost a two-legged European tie to a team as modest as Karat. Armenia Bratislava, you know, they went on to, they had a good Champions League campaign. They got to the Champions League after putting Celtic out, and they should have beat Rangers. Remember that? Remember the ball stuck in the line? It was a 2-2 game, and it was the rain-soaked 2-2 game. They would have put Rangers out, unfortunately, because they played Scottish teams four times. You know, like, they only lost one game, the return leg. But Celtic have never lost to a team as modest as FC Karat.
To be fair, I think in the last 10 years, off the top of my head, Mold was pretty bad. I don't know coefficient one, but they're going to be. But that and then who's the other team as well? The one it be Angie's team.
But these are from countries which have a higher coefficient ranking than Scotland. You know, Denmark and Sweden and all that kind of thing.
Denmark won't have an automatic entry into the Champions League the last three seasons.
No, maybe now, but it's just turned around. But anyway, they're thereabouts. Thereabouts. I mean, Kazakhstan's 39th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, you're talking any of these teams, and you I know people would say Cluj, but Romania, right? Mm-hmm. Romanian might be 22, right? Scotland 17, Romania's 22. I think I looked it up, Romania 22. Right, that's a hell of a lot different from saying 39. You know, just the general standard of these clubs, the countries they come from. Celtic have never lost to a team as lowly as FC Karat.
If you were balancing it, you go, where were these countries 5-10 years ago? So, you know, Kazakhstan, it's going to slow burn, but they're clearly investing something within their game, with the fact that we now know who teams like Astana are. Now, they might not be doing great, but they're slowly but surely coming up. You watch like the under 21s and under 19 tournaments, teams like countries like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, all their youth players now are actually getting to the latter points of quite big tournaments over in Asia.
Right.
You know, so the development's there, but if we do that to this country, not so much. I'm not going at this game with any sort of nerves. I'm not really nervous about it, but I would never disrespect. What I mean is, the whole what coefficient they are and what nation doesn't make any odds to me. It's 11-11. I think they will put up a good account of themselves, but I think if we've not got the quality to overcome this game, then if you think
that's what I mean. Even three players short of where you should be, you should still have eight players You've probably got 11 players. Would you take any of the, maybe the young boy? You'd maybe take the young boy, but is there anybody else in the ranks?
You know, they've got a couple of decent players who could probably play at levels above what we deem Kazakhstan to be. But then, as Stephen pointed out, you know, these countries have got a bit of dough. So I'd imagine these players are probably earning a few quid.
They've got a few Brazilians, haven't they?
Yeah, so, you know, they'll be earning
a Portuguese guy
to play there and things like that. So,
Ross, what do you like defensively?
Bratislava's hard to tell because Bratislava are really slow, like through the line. We've seen it when we played Bratislava last season that, you know, they aren't a great side. They've still got the ball.
Now that Celtic have kind of slowed down, maybe it's quite a nice parallel. Maybe it's a proper parallel.
Vice that played for Rangers all these years ago, and, you know, there's oil tankers now. He's a winger and he just can't turn. But defensively, again, against Bratislava, they were quite narrow in the sense that the four moved as a four. The fullbacks weren't they sort of overly bombing on. They kind of moved as a unit. Right. So it's very much a collective team as to how they move. But when they do get in the final third, you will see midfielders try to push up and get in and around the box. And as I say, they are happy to have shots for range, which, you know, is something that we're maybe guilty of not doing enough at certain times. It's something that I think this season we've seen a bit more of, which has been a positive. But it's something that I think they will look and go, you know, it's as you say, they've already played the three qualifiers. They've never, ever got this far. This is as free a hit as you can get. Because we're the big boys and all the odds are stacked in our favour. But they're looking at it and going, this is an absolute free hit because even if we drop down, we drop into Europa. So, you know.
Yeah.
Let's have
well, I mean, it could be sticky. I just expect Celtic to go over the line. I'm not saying it's going to be straightforward necessarily. Yeah.
No, but
you expect.
All I mean is the sense of tomorrow night is huge. I'm with Stephen. I would like it to be a slightly wetter, drizzlier night. I don't know what the forecast is for tomorrow.
I think it's going to be all right. It's going to be pleasant, dry.
That will be a factor. You want, you know, we bit of breeze. Because as you say, it's their midnight, but ultimately they've coped with that up until now. So everybody's going, oh, it's X, it's whatever time at night for them and sleeping and this. They've done that three times. And they've coped.
You have to. So, I know, you have to tip your hat to them that they are here right now. Mm. They've got something about them or they wouldn't be here.
But I expect us to come through this tie. Even with the squad as it is, and I'm obviously deeply unhappy about that.
Yeah.
But I expect this to come through. I think I'd be going mad if I was sat looking at this and with any real sense of danger in my mind. However, I would never be disrespectful and say, I think we're going to pump them. I think if we go and do a professional job tomorrow, we could come away and have the second leg in a position where it would be a lot easier to manage, especially when we have to come back and obviously go to Ibrox the following weekend. And then you're going to have all the noise that's going to go around that because you can guarantee we'll come back for that game. And if we haven't made any moves in the transfer window, you can imagine what the media are going to be like in the build-up to Ibrox, given that the window then ends on the Monday after, where it'll be, every story will be Carter Vickers is leaving, Maeda's leaving. Mm. They'll probably tell us Brendan's leaving, taking Jota with him even though he's injured. You know, the media or elements of the media will probably like to stir up those noises because we're going to Ibrox.
Well, here we go, the old tropes.
No, but it happens fairly often. We've seen those sorts of stories appear. And the fact is the club's silence, that they were going over and over again, but we're allowing it to happen. So you're saying, let's finish this on a positive. And I would love to finish this on a positive, but I don't feel that Celtic have given me, with the exception of Rangers and his first 11, which is the important part, obviously. They're doing their bit. But I don't feel the rest of our club has given any of us much positivity to look and go.
Yeah,
go past this game and into the Champions League and into the rest of the season.
As my mum, God rest her, when she used to be sometimes pretty unpleasant to my sister if she felt she was acting up, she used to always say, "You take the goodness out of everything." And Celtic have got a board now that are taking the goodness, everything, or their activities are taking the goodness of everything. But we will put all that to one side when we head in tomorrow night and cheer them for the rafters, because it's not the players' fault, it's not the manager's fault.
You know, great credit to Callum McGregor and for Rodgers today for fronting up and sort of going through all. But, you know, and we've got good players on this team and we've got a good manager. But you appreciate that by helping them achieve their goals as well, not by standing still. But, you know, I'm hoping for a positive result. The team has started the season relatively positively. The Falkirk game was a good one. Aberdeen was, I would say, professional. I never seen much of St Mirren game because I was away.
Might have struggled, but you get that sometimes. It's a bit stodgy, but they're an awkward they've looked cohesive. Celtic have looked cohesive. That's the one thing you can say about them. They might not be like pulling up trees at times, but they look a team who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, I think we've got the players to get the job done through this tie.
Yeah,
and I
definitely.
Tonight when we come back to look at this tie.
Stevie, do you want to put paint on a smell for us before we go?
Well, what I was going to say there is, who would you rather be playing, Kyrat or Bruges? I mean, in the next half an hour or so, the Huns are going to go up against Bruges, and the hope is that Bruges will be too good for them over two legs. But if we were playing a team of that calibre, I'd be really, really worried. And I think Ross makes a good point there as well, but with all due respect to them, and we're not taking anything for granted, but we need to go out there tomorrow night with the crowd behind us, a lot of noise, and just blitz them as best we can.
Yep, amen to that. Amen to that, and amen to everything, gents, and thanks so much for being with us, being with yourself, in fact, you know what I mean, if I get my kind of, my Buddhism going out. So, thanks a million, guys. Lovely to see you, and might see you later in the week. And thanks so much for tuning in, guys, whoever did.
If it goes wrong tomorrow night, you'll not see me later in the week.
Well, can you come on Thursday night? If it goes wrong, you come on and we can watch you just kind of self-combusting, you know?
Well, listen, it's only half-time tomorrow, regardless of what the score is. So that's the thing to bear in mind.
I would trust this team. Actually, I do trust this team away from home a wee bit better, more than I've trusted many Celtic teams. I'll say that much.
If you want before we go, I'll break a habit.
I thought you. That's what I didn't do predictions because I thought you hated them.
You two can make your predictions first, and then I will break the habit lifetime and I'll make one.
Well, I think 3-0.
I'm going to go for 2-0.
I'm going to go for 4-0.
4-0.
4-0. Oh. I bet you. See, if I was going to say, I might put a bet on all three, but you wouldn't get tuppence for some of these. Celtic will be so heavily.
Yeah,
favourites.
Yeah.
We'll
go
4-0
and back. I don't know.
Adam Eadie, score.
Yeah, first goal.
Go with Scalesy.
You
good
odds
for that, so you would.
You would. I might need to put that on now because you've sowed the seed. I'm going to phone my bookie the now before we watch. Before I get my popcorn, before later on. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to the CelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears.
Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.